Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Yeah, so I'm really excited just about what the Lord has shared with me. It's been a long journey, really. He's always sharing. He's always stretching me and teaching me. And I guess I get little glimpses every now and then, and I feel a responsibility that as the Lord gives me glimpses of His heart, that it's my responsibility to share that. And, there are things that God gives us that are very personal, but for the most part, anytime He shares something with me, it's like hand in hand, like, okay, God, well, where do I pour this out into? And so I'm really excited about what the Lord has just simply been sharing with me over the past, couple of months, really heavy. But honestly, it's something that He's been calling me into for a long time. And that's what I'm really excited about tonight, is because I believe that the Lord really just wants to shed some light into the fact that this walk with Him is actually fairly simple. And I know I, a lot of times, really complicate things, and I look in the wrong directions, and I'm trying to seek out the wrong things, when in reality, the Lord has made it fairly plain and simple as to what He's ultimately called me to do. And we're going to get into that. But I'm just excited to see that as I take these small steps in Him, how He's just pouring back out on me. It's just a small step towards the Lord, and He takes a huge step towards me. And it's just really encouraging. So to start, something that He shared with me this weekend, actually, it's this past weekend, I knew I was getting ready to speak this Tuesday or today. And so I sat down before the Lord, and I'm always amazed at how often He does this. And this is really the culmination of the message right up front. I'm just going to put it out there. But I sat down before the Lord to seek a word from God so that I can share it with you. And He doesn't let me do that. And He says, son, don't worry about the word for the people, because I'm going to bring that. What I need you to do is I need you to receive a personal revelation from my heart so that you can receive something that's very personal. And what the Lord shared with me Saturday night, and it's one of these things, it's so simple, and it's a passage of Scripture that we've read over and over again, and even when we read it, we get excited, and that's good, man, and you hear it a lot. It's really a real Christian saying, go let your light shine. But God spoke this to me. He spoke it out of Matthew, just if you want to reference Matthew 5:14. It says simply this. It says, you are the light of the world. And let me tell you something, when God spoke that to me, it was real. And I feel like tonight that the Lord wants to share that with you guys also. I want to give you an opportunity to really let that settle in for a second. That the Father says that you are the light of the world. And when He spoke that to me, it just impacted me so much, because I began to really look at that and think, wow, I am the light of the world? Jesus, you're telling me this? That I, out of billions and billions of people, you're calling me the light of the world. So that means wherever I go, whatever I do, I should be the one shining amidst all the darkness. In that moment, I just really felt privileged. And I really took that personally, and I believe tonight that the Lord wants to share that with you also, that we as children of God, first and foremost, I believe that He wants us to know who we are, and He says that we are the light of the world. I went to read further on in that, and I was actually just more and more impressed Because he's talking to people. He's telling them up front, you're the light of the world. But then he's given them direction in how to let that light shine. And the reason that that impacted me so is because a lot of times I don't feel like the light of the world. You know, and I look at me and I look at kind of who I can be sometimes, and I don't really feel like the light of the world. But God's talking to people who might struggle with the same thing that I struggle with, because Jesus went on to say, if you're the light of the world, don't hide your light, but instead shine it so that everyone can see that I may receive the glory. So he wouldn't have said this unless he had reason to say this. So that goes on to tell me that these people might not have really been shining their light as they should, but still, they're the light of the world. And that was just really encouraging to me. That was a personal word from the Lord that he gave to me, and I believe that he wants to pour that out on all of us here tonight. I believe that he wants to establish that in your heart, that Christ is calling you the light of the world. That's changed my perception on everything. I'm sitting out in front of the coffee shop this morning drinking coffee, and people are walking by, and I'm thinking, wow, like, I'm the light in this situation. When it's me and this guy right here, I'm the light. Now, that's not an arrogant thing, but that's almost something that makes me want to, like, step out and be the light and talk to this man and smile and engage with this man. It's really an encouragement. And so just a simple, basic truth like that can be life-changing. And I can honestly say in the past 3 days, that simple revelation from the Lord has been life-changing. And I believe the Lord wants to pour that out on you too tonight, just in case you don't quite grasp the fact that Christ has called you the light of the world. So amen. Let's start right there. And when I was sharing that with my wife, because she was sitting there, it was funny. We were out on the balcony, and I'm reading the word, and she knows, like, I'm on this mission to get a word from God to preach. And all of a sudden, I look over at her, and I'm like, Arlette, we're the light of the world. And she's like, yeah. And then all of a sudden, I look down at my word, and I look up, and I go, we're the light of the world on the back, you know, on the back porch. And I look over, and she's like all scared and stuff. But when God gives you insight on even the smallest things, man, it's so impactful. And so that really impacted me. And that's really a big time foundation of what we're going to talk about tonight, you know, is knowing who we are. The next thing that I went on to just felt like the Lord was leading in was Romans 8. And this is probably one of my favorite passages of Scripture in the Bible. To me, it is so powerful. It really reveals who we are, even more so than being the light of the world. This really goes on to say something about who we are. And when I say we, I'm talking about the sons of God. And I will say also, we're the light of the world because Jesus lives in us. That's the only reason we're the light of the world. We're not the light of the world because we're good people doing good things. The only reason we're the light of the world is because the Word of God clearly states that that light is Jesus, and in Him, all things are good. So, so Romans 8, verse 19, it says, the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be freed or liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. And when I read this passage, it verifies the fact that of who we are. You know, we're the light of the world, but this is saying something that to me is even more profound, that the creation itself, so like the treetops, the mountains, the valleys, the rivers, the oceans, They eagerly are waiting for the sons of God, the daughters of God, to be revealed. Because right now, because of sin, they're dwindling away. They're dying just like we are. But on that ultimate day when Christ is revealed and the sons of God are revealed, they're going to be brought into freedom just like we are. But I want to go a step further with this. And I want to say, let's take this idea, let's take this truth and really apply it to today. Okay, so the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed, in hope that the creation itself will be freed from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. So I want to transition now from the creation, because the trees and the mountains and the oceans and the rivers, that's not God's only creation. Actually, that's the lesser of God's creation. But the greater of his creation is us. And I'm here to pose a question to you, to really throw an idea out there that's actually not an idea, it is a truth. That the creations themselves, the people, whether they know it or not, they're eagerly waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. Because the sooner that you and I are revealed in Christ, the sooner they might become free. And this is really kind of the hub of what I want to talk about tonight, is that Christ needs us. I'm not going to say needs. Christ wants us. He desires for us to realize who we are in him. He wants us to be revealed even within ourselves. And I think that a lot of times we don't know who we are. We don't know what Christ has created within us, that it's his self. We don't know that we're the light of the world. But the sooner that we are revealed in his truth, the sooner that the things around us start to change. So if creation is waiting to be freed, how about our neighborhoods? How about our workplaces? How about our families? How about the people that are around us day in and day out? The sooner that we realize who we are, the sooner that we can start doing our part to praise the Lord and watch him shift things. Okay, so if we're being revealed, if God is trying to show us who we are, we're the sons of God. God is on this journey to impart within us his heart for us. His heart for us is that we're the light of the world. His heart for us is that we're the salt of the earth. These are things of his heart, and he wants to reveal them to us. Now, what do we do with those things? So if we're called to break the strongholds, how do we do that? 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 really spells out a big part of that. It says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." And so as we stand up in who we are, as we realize who Christ has called us to be, and we begin to stand up and walk in the authority that he has given us, how do we fully walk in that to break the strongholds? Because I know from personal experience, the Lord delivered me from a life of addiction. The Lord delivered me from some, you know, crazy stuff. We've all got our own stories. And the Lord delivered me. And I know now he's placed a call on my life to go forth and share the good news of what he's done in my life, in hope that through that Christ will free more. That's Christ's heart, to have his children. He wants to free more. He wants to liberate more. And so he uses us. We're his hands and his feet. But how does he do that? How does he use that? What are the tools that we need to really allow God to move through us. And this is the neat thing, because God's ways are much higher than our ways. And this is what I was talking about in the beginning. You know, I've been on this long journey to really find myself where the Lord wants me. But sometimes I find myself looking in the wrong places. I'm not looking in bad places. I'm just not looking necessarily in the right place. And this is kind of where some of these things come into mind. But what are the weapons that we use? And the scripture says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So I'm just going to list off a few of these things. Prayer. Man, and that is the thing that has really taken me to that place of hearing the Father's heart for me, is to be in a place of prayer, to be in a place of worship, to be in a place of faith. You know, these are all things that the Lord has given us. These are heavenly tools that he has poured out to us so that we can go and be Christ's hands and feet to demolish strongholds. One of the things that I always struggled with was really having that desire. And I think some of us can relate to that, you know, is we know what we need to do. We know who we've been called to be as a Christ follower. But sometimes we're just drawn away and enticed by our own evil desires. That's biblical. And so I've kind of had to, I've had to transition some things. And instead of, like I said, instead of trying to get a word from the Lord so that I could preach to you, or instead of going out and trying to learn more about evangelism so that I could go into the streets, or going out and getting a pastoral degree so that I could be a pastor, instead of searching in all these areas, the Lord has pointed me in one direction. And in this direction, he's actually taken care of all things. And this is the mind blower, because Christ keeps it simple. And I've complicated this, but as Christ has revealed his heart to me and he showed me where I need to be and what I need to be doing, he's really taken everything and turned it upside down. And now he's fighting my battles for me, and he's really doing the work for me. And you know where that is? That's a place of worship and praise. It truly is. It's to find myself in a place of worship and praise. So I've really preached this message kind of backwards, because we started out saying we're the light of the world, and then, you know, let us be revealed as the sons of God so that the creation itself could find freedom. And then we go on to show what are some of the tools that the Lord has given us. But then ultimately, I want to end here, but it really starts here. This is where it starts and it ends. Because Christ isn't expecting us to do anything. Christ just wants one thing from us. He wants our praise and he wants our worship. And through that, God is going to pour his heart into us. So I'm sitting on the balcony the other day, hoping to find a word, and God transitions my heart from seeking out this thing so that I could do ministry. He transitions my heart from that place, and he takes me to a place of ministering unto him. And through that, he flows into me, his heart for me. See, I received a divine revelation from the Lord into his heart. I can get into the Word of God all day long and read great things. And I can even go as far as to come preach great things. But if I haven't received a revelation of God's heart in my life, it's void of power. And so God is not interested in us preaching a good word. God is not interested in us going out to the streets and evangelizing and saving the lost. God is not interested in all these things, and I think you can see where I'm going with that. Now, don't get me wrong. His heart is that everyone be saved. But God wants to do it. Because as God reveals his heart to us, we will then walk in his power. When God revealed his heart to me the other day that I'm the light of the world, guess what it did? It ignited a passion inside of me to reach out to every person that walks across me. I've been evangelizing son of a gun since Saturday. Right? But God's not saying, I want you to go pursue evangelism. He's not saying, I want you to go pursue all these things. What he wants is that we pursue him. And that's powerful, man. And that's freeing. That's liberating. Because God is making it simple on us. But as we pour ourselves into him, he wants to do it all. I went and I looked up. I called Pastor Bob this afternoon because, you know, I've always heard about the Tabernacle of David, you know, and I mean, I've read about the Tabernacle of David and the worship that's going forth and everything, but more than anything, I've heard a lot about it. And so I really wanted to incorporate that story and really the what God did through all that. I wanted to incorporate that here. And so I called Pastor Dave. I did some research on my own, and I really couldn't just narrow something out. But it is all throughout the Old Testament and the story of David and Solomon, and even more so, I'm sure. But Pastor Bob helped me out today, and he didn't even really know. He was just kind of pointing me in the right direction. And when I got off the phone with you, I just looked down at the page, and this is where it was. And this is during the times of King Jehoshaphat. And, I mean, I'm just kind of paraphrasing it, but they were getting ready to go to battle. You know, they're getting ready to go to battle. And they were clearly outnumbered. Like, when you looked at the situation, King Jehoshaphat and his army, they were in trouble. But they had they had one source on their side that was the source that you wanted. I'm just going to read this. It's 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. And it said, he said, and this is the Lord speaking, because King Jehoshaphat, I'm guessing he was like, man, what are we going to do? You know, we're outnumbered. This thing is sitting in front of me. What are we going to do? And the Lord said this to King Jehoshaphat. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And as I read that, man, that's so liberating. Because how many of us in this room right now, we're facing a battle? You know, we're facing something in front of us that we don't really know how to handle. You know, maybe we don't really know how we're going to make it through. We really can't see beyond tomorrow. In reality, we're outnumbered like 10 to 1 with whatever we're going through. This is a big deal for some of you guys. Y'all are going through some real stuff. Well, King Jehoshaphat was going through some real stuff too. He was facing life and death, and not only was he facing life and death, but he had a lot of men underneath him that were facing life and death. And the odds looked like they were going to die. But this was a man who chose to seek the Lord. And the Lord had a very powerful word for King Jehoshaphat, and he said, do not be discouraged. Do not be afraid, because the battle is not yours. And then if you go down a little bit, verse 22. And here we go, guys. I mean, this is life-changing for me. And this is life-changing for you. And so I plead, accept this today. Accept this as to become a truth in your life, that this becomes who you are. Christ wants this to become who you are. And Christ is calling this to become who I am. And as this becomes who I am, He wants to flow through me in all areas of my life. It says, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon to go and destroy them. Simple, right? It should have been bigger than that. No, it's simple. As we stare our struggles, and I'm just talking about struggles right now. How much greater when we're not struggling and we're just still worshiping the Lord. But for those of you today who are facing some struggles, Christ's message to you is very clear. I'll tell you what His message is not. And these things aren't bad. But His message is not find more scriptures on how to overcome this struggle. I mean, those are good things. Those are practical tips and tools, yes, that the Lord has given us. But ultimately, His message is praise me, worship me, cry out to me, claim that I am good. And as you worship me, you're setting things in motion. As you worship the Lord, your situation is being set into motion and freedom is on its way. And that's the message that the Lord wants to share with you today is freedom is on its way for those of us who praise the Lord. But if we are not praising the Lord, is freedom on its way? Maybe not. So I just want to encourage you guys with this today. This is something that really for me has to become my reality. That the foundation of everything in my life is praise and worship for the Lord. And you know what? I can honestly say just in 2 months, because I can kind of put a time frame on it, it was about 2 months ago that the Lord transitioned me from seeking gifts to seeking Him. And when He did that, you know what increased in my life? The gifts increased in my life. My prayer life changed. You know what I'm doing now? Oh, let me share some testimonies with you. The other day, I'm sitting outside. I'm getting ready to go get into my word. And the Lord says, why don't you start out with a little bit of praise and worship? So I'm like, okay, cool. So I go grab my guitar. I live in the middle of a neighborhood that desperately needs Jesus. Everybody desperately needs Jesus. But this is a little bit more visual than maybe most. And so my neighborhood desperately needs Jesus. And I know for a fact that that is why, well, that's a big reason of why me and my wife are there. To be there, to shine the light into this community, to be Jesus in this community. And so the other day, I go and I grab my guitar. And I go outside and I'm singing. And I'm singing in this specific direction. And I'm singing over the neighborhood. And I'm like calling down God's blessing onto the neighborhood. Because as a son of God, guess what? I'm an heir of the throne. I'm an heir of all things that Christ is the heir of. And He wants to share these things with me. And you know what? There's going to be a day where I'm going to be able to walk fully in all of the things that Christ wants to give me. But you know what else? He wants to pour them out right now. Christ wants to pour out our inheritance right now. Amen. What's His ultimate inheritance? It's His people. So if our hearts are calling down heaven on His people, is He not going to pour it out? He desires to pour it out. He longs to pour it out over your neighborhood, over your workplace. If He could just find a man or a woman of God who would stand in a place of prayer and call down the blessings of heaven, He will move. As we worship Him in that place, He desires to move. So I'm sitting outside the other day and I got my guitar and I'm singing and I'm praying and I'm just covering these people. They don't even know. They don't even know what they're in for. I mean, Christ is bringing salvation to my neighborhood. I believe it. And I'm singing this over them. And as I'm singing it, man, I'm seeing people coming. And this was so powerful. As I'm singing, I mean, I'm singing in a specific direction. And you know where about three or four families gathered? Right at the edge of my voice. And as they're walking, I'm just like amazed. Because God is showing himself to be true. God is showing me that his heart truly is for this. And if he could just find men and women to stand up and declare heaven in a place that he longs to pour it out. One more testimony I'll share. You know, and this is just to go. This is just to really verify that when we find ourselves in that place of worship, he's going to take care of the rest. He's going to take care of the healing. He's going to take care of all the things. He's going to take care of these things. Since I've found my place, myself in this place, me and my brother Andy Bowman, we went out to play disc golf the other day. And I'll make a long story short. We end up having to park in this guy's parking lot. Next thing you know, we're back and he's sharing his life story with us. And it's all negative. And we both know in our heads, like, we're getting ready to pour Jesus out in this place. Because through being in worship and prayer, this is something that he's built up within us. It's not because we're good people, but through finding ourselves in a place of prayer and worship, God is building all of who he is up. See, that's who Christ is. All the gifts, those are Christ's gifts. Gifts of the Spirit. So all of these things live inside. And, you know, I don't have a gift. I mean, I do. I'm not going to say that, actually. I do have the gift of healing that indwells within me, and it's the Holy Spirit. And so we go, man, and this guy's pouring it out, and we kind of find an opportunity to really drive in there. And next thing you know, man, we're laying hands on this dude. He gets healed of this rash, like, right there on the spot. I don't know if it was fully gone, and I don't know what the deal was. Andy actually saw that, but he got healed right there on the spot. He ended up rededicating his life to the Lord. He was crying out, asking God to forgive him. I mean, this was a sincere encounter. And, you know, it could only be credited to one thing, and that's men, because I know my brother Andy also, and I know he finds himself in that place, and that's men who have made the choice to sit before the Lord and praise him, for he is good. So, I believe you hear the message today is, first and foremost, God is calling us to be passionate worshipers of him. And if you're a part of Voice Ministries and you don't know that, you have not been listening. Because that is the message that goes forth time and time again. And the longer that I'm here, you know, with these guys and going in my walk with the Lord, the more that I see that really that is the crux of all things. That's why I am so thankful to be in a place that really that's the message. Because that is the message. That is the message. Is that we find ourselves in a place of praying and worshiping the Lord. And through that, he wants to reveal his heart to us. Through that, and that's where the power comes from. Man, the other night he revealed his heart to me. He said, I'll leave 99 to go get the one. And it was like, whoa. I mean, I was trying to prepare the message again. And God's like, nope, I'm not going to let you do that. I want you to hear what I've got to say. Don't worry about what you're going to say to them. And he froze my phone up. I mean, like, it was picture perfect. I'm scrolling through my phone in my Bible app, and I'm just going through, like, okay, God, you know, could I pull from here? Could I pull from here? And all of a sudden, my phone freezes up. Bam! And there it is, like, squared up, dead center. And there's a scripture that talks about, I'll leave 99 to go get the one. And you know what? God was revealing his heart to me. Because now, that's my heart. As God reveals his heart to me, that becomes who I am. When he truly speaks, I think we have no choice but to receive. I mean, I don't have no choice but to receive. When the Lord really pours himself out, I can do nothing but just receive it. So, I just want to linger in this. You know, I just want to linger on those ideas for a little bit. You know, I want to give each one of us an opportunity to just really feel that. Not for me. Don't feel that for me. I believe the Lord wants to impart this truth into your life tonight. And so I just want to give us an opportunity, and yeah, we'll do some keys or something. Just to really feel that. You know, first and foremost, man, God calls you loved. God calls you blessed. He calls you the light of the world. Take that in for a little bit. I mean, truly take that in for a little bit. And let God's heart be revealed to you. But then also know this, whatever you're going through, whatever your struggle is, whatever you're feeling outnumbered in, the Lord says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. The battle is not yours. Can we truly accept that today? Can we accept that word from the Lord today, that whatever battle you're going through, it's not yours? He wants to take care of it. He wants to see you through it. And so how is he going to strengthen you? What's it going to take that's going to put these things into motion that he can have his way in the situation is just to worship and praise him for who he is. You could be in the midst of the biggest struggle of your life. But God is still worthy of our praise. He's done more than enough to show himself worthy of our praise. And so tonight, I believe the Lord wants to end this service giving us an opportunity to worship him, to praise his name. No matter what you're going through, whatever's unsure in your life, praise his name tonight. He says that through your praise, that you're going to set things in motion for freedom to be on the way. He wants to ambush your attacker. He wants to remove the thing that is causing you this struggle. And it's going to come through praise. So I just want to give a little bit of time just for us to praise the Lord. If you got something. Father, we praise you. Jesus, you are awesome. You're a mighty God. You're magnificent in all you do, Lord. We lift your name high. You are worthy of our praise. It's because of you, Lord, that we will get the victory, Father. You already have the victory today. And I pray that you would impart that into people, that the victory is yours, and it's already been paid for. The victory is already there. Whatever you're going through today, the victory is already there. Lord, we love you. Jesus, we praise you. We worship you, God. You are worthy. Yes, Lord, we thank you. I just invite you to put him to the test today. Just praise his holy name. Just thank him. Even if you don't have anything to be thankful for, so it might seem, thank the Lord today. We thank you, Jesus. See you.
Jesus, deliverer of my soul. Jesus, I will never let you go. Taking me from the mountain and set my feet upon the rock. Now I know that I
kind of sum things up tonight, and that message that was brought by Josh It's a message that gives you a pathway to victory. That's what it is. And it seems real simple, but it's not. And King David, if you look at this banner that's up here in the room, that banner is all about being before him and seeking him and worshiping him and praising him and acquiring, meditating. And I got to tell you, a lot of times, you know, you think, well, okay, Josh, that's good for you because you play guitar and you can sing. I'm sure there was a couple of those little thoughts out there. But worship can be everything that you do. And God has made so much available to us. Like, I think of Graham Cook and his soaking CDs. I think of ihop.kc, where you can go on there and they're worshiping 24/7. I think of all the different things. We were listening to Jason Upton. We did one of his songs tonight, coming back from Michigan City, and just listening to him cry out. Now, some of you, again, we can get in such a pattern of how we go about everything in our life. But when God breaks in and says, listen, he's chosen me, he's chosen you to be worshipers. That's what he's called you to be. And that there's victory in that. So God wants you to begin to meditate and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to learn to begin to be more worshipful in your life with him each and every day, praising him and thanking him. And I'm telling you, it is a pathway to victory. It's very simple. And I'm always sometimes just dumbfounded by my own reaction sometimes when I hear such a simple truth, and knowing that it's like a treasure of gold, finding that simple truth and applying it in my life and how it shifts everything in my life. If you'll become a worshiper, if you'll begin to praise him, every time in the Old Testament when they did that, they were what? Victorious. They were in victory, man. And so when you try to think your way out of a problem, why don't you try worshiping and praising your way out of a problem? Why don't you begin to resort to that first and saying, that's what I'm going to do? I know of some of you in this room that's got great responsibility with men and women. And the fact is, you're trying to do something, you're trying to come up with something, and God's saying, if you'll just praise me, if you'll just worship me, that I will give you the answers you need. And until you press into that and see that manifest, you'll just draw back from it. You won't let it happen. So he's asking every one of us to be worshipers like King David. I know a man he's an engineer, and he created this most incredible machine that is about ready to take people off the grid as far as electricity and power and everything. It is the most amazing thing. And that man will tell you every time he hit a place in the road where he couldn't figure out, all he did was worship and prayed, and God would download a revelation to him of how to move the machine forward, and he would get it and it would work. That is blatantly kingdom. That's blatantly kingdom. So when you're in a situation, all of us, let's go to worship him. Let's go to pray and praising and watch what God does. Some people praise with all their might. Some people praise by just being on the floor on their knees. It's all praise. And that's who we're called to be. I was reading at the end of Haggai, and it was just talking about just how the Lord is going to take all the armies of the enemy down at the end of the age. And he's going to do that because the song of the Lord goes forth in the earth. And worship begins to rise all over the earth. Exactly what Josh was talking about. Individually and corporately, people are worshiping and singing the song, and they won't hold it back anymore. And they don't care. They stand out in their yard, in their neighborhood, and they start playing a guitar. Okay? Where did that come from? That came from a revelation. That came from being in our midst. If all of us will just decide to begin to release it and not worry about what everybody thinks of us, things will begin to shift and change. But the problem is, we think too much about what other people think. And God wants us to get out of that. If there's a song in your heart that breaks out in the grocery store, I don't care what it sounds like. Break it out. Break it out. You don't know who's listening and who may need that. He's called us to do that. We're called to be worshipers. Omar, we're called to be worshipers, aren't we? Omar's beloved wife just not long ago went to be with Jesus. And she went through a real struggle, but you know how she made it through it? I went in there, and I would listen to her, and she had worship around her continuously, didn't she, Omar? And I would hear her singing while she was struggling, while she was suffering, but she wasn't going to let the enemy take her praise. And she praised herself right into the presence of the living God and worshiped right in it. That's what this is about. I'm telling you, if we don't deny ourselves and pick up our cross and allow ourselves to be crucified, if we don't get our focus on that, if I don't get my focus on that, I'm never going to walk in the fullness that God has chosen for me to walk in, or you. And it's all for His glory. And it's all for a new song that's going to break out in the earth, that's going to captivate people. Because this song is like no other song. It's called a new song, and the new song is this. It's a song that goes, that comes from the passionate place of your heart toward Him. That you begin to yearn for Him the way He yearns for you, and you begin to realize it. And now the spirit of adversity, the wind of adversity, isn't so much stopping you. The wind of the Lord is behind your back, propelling you forward. That's who we're called to be. I refuse to live in any other circumstances. I may struggle, but I will never quit. How about you? I may struggle, but I will never stop worshiping, because He's worthy. A house of prayer is for a purpose. To call the region definitely into revival and keep crying out for our nation. To create an atmosphere where God's people and others come in and they experience the Lord, they encounter Him. But I'll say this over, and I'm going to get real repetitive about this. The reason the house of prayer is so special, I think, to God, to the Father, is because the house of prayer is to be a place where people proclaim the worthiness and the supremacy of Jesus day and night, that He is worthy. Worship to the And that's how we're going to be victorious. We can preach and preach and preach, and that's good. But if we're not worshipers, I guarantee you we're going to fall into a place of defeat. But when you praise and you worship, and it's real and it's genuine, and it's just not, you know, I tell you what, if you're one of those guys or gals that's going through the old motions like you've always done things and how you're processing everything, I ask you to ask God tonight to blow it up and change the way you hear, change the way you process. So now that you can hear more and receive more and let the Lord have His way with you, let the Lord change the direction right now where you're at and begin to bust you forth with light, where you begin to reflect it to people wherever you're at. Young, old, it doesn't matter. Men, women, it doesn't matter. It is all about Jesus, and it's all about His presence. And that's how we win battles. We win battles when we press in through praise and worship, and we press into His presence. And one moment in that presence is like a lifeline, man. It just changes everything. Your whole perspective changes because of His presence. When people talk to me and they're always talking about their self or their own agenda, I realize they haven't been with Him too long, because they would be speaking about Him and His agenda and what He desires to walk out and do in our midst. It's not about us anymore. It's not about an old wineskin. It's about new wine and new wind blowing in a powerful way in the midst of the body of Christ. And she wakes up and comes out of an old system and a wineskin into a new wineskin with new wine. And the new wine is Him. The beauty of His love and who He is. And that's who we're called to be, every one of you. I know you come here, some of you come here, you know, just to say, okay, Lord. I think that what He spoke tonight was massive. I think what He spoke tonight was from God completely. And it was so simple that we would just kind of walk off from it and say, yeah, that was good. Josh did good. It's not about that. It's about catching what God is saying and bringing it down and allowing it to be in your heart. Catching the lyrics that God is singing over you and bringing them down, because He's singing over you. He's singing over you. He loves you. I don't know about you, but I want to end praising and worshiping, because the end is the beginning of everything, the beginning of eternity.
Priscilla is in the beginning of eternity now, her whole life. She was living it here. She's living it now in the presence of the living God. So just ask Jesus to help you and ask the Holy Spirit to move you and to fill you and to change you. You got to want it. I told this to somebody. I can tell when God gives me that discerning sometimes, when I know that there's somebody out there and they've never engaged their heart in the place of worship. They've wanted to, and I can see it. And maybe they've had moments with him, but I see it. And then I love to see when the light goes on and all of a sudden there they are and they're worshiping him. And he's speaking to them. And everything shifts and changes. Every day I want to be driving a 5-speed every day. I want to be grinding, going. Let the gears shifting from here to this gear to this gear to that gear. I want things to shift in my life because I'm in his presence and I'm in his word. Amen? I don't want to stay the same. Don't you stand? Let me just pray and we'll go ahead and... Like I said, you know, ask the Lord to give you avenues that you can begin to worship, like Graham Cook and soaking CDs in different places. He'll give them to you, right? Right? You do it. Holy Spirit, have your way. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. God, radicalize us in the simplicity of devotion and worship to you. Let us be passionate about who you are. Let us not be consumed with what the next day is going to bring, but let us be consumed with worshiping you in this moment and in this day and trusting you with the next. You are new every morning. You are good. So Holy Spirit, bring revelation. We know that there's angelic help available. We know that you said that your angels would even minister. That there would be, this would be an unprecedented time. That your people would carry out exploits. Because they were first worshipers. And those who praise and abided within the vine. So Lord, I ask tonight that you just touch every one of us. And strengthen us and help us. That tonight and tomorrow, we will worship more, we'll pray more, we'll praise more, and we'll trust you, that you're the one who's going to win the battles on our behalf, that you're the God of hope that fills us with joy and peace. So Holy Spirit, have your way. As we walk in an abundance of grace that's been ministered and given to us, may we walk in the freedom, always thanking you, Father, for who you are and what you've done. And that in you all things are enriched and beautiful. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.